The first thing that God wants you to do in life is not to do anything. He wants you to let Him do something to you. He wants you to let Him love you. We've talked about that already. It's the bedrock of everything that happens in your life. You must learn to let God love you. You were created first and foremost to be loved. You are called to be loved. And then last week, we looked at another calling for your life, which is you're called to belong. You're called to be loved. That's first and foremost. And then you are also called to belong. And then you can move on to another calling, maybe the third calling, which is this. You are called to become. You're called to become. It's interesting that as little kids, we often want to become something. Let me just ask you, how many of you, when you were a kid, you wanted to be a fireman or a policeman or an astronaut? Can I see your hands? Yeah, those are the most common ones. How many of you wanted to be a nurse when you're growing up? How many of you wanted to be Barbie? Here's the more likely question. How many of you didn't become what you thought you would become when you were 8 years old? It's pretty universal. But the Bible says that God created you not just to be loved and not just to belong, but there's this third calling in your life. You're called to become. You say, what is a calling? Well, we said it's the same thing as a purpose. God has a purpose for your life. God had reasons in creating you. God has an assignment for you, a mission for you. So the calling of God, those are His purposes in your life. The theme verse for this series, we've called Living a Better Story, is Romans 8, 28. 29. It says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God. Now, it's not saying it's all good. It's just saying God causes everything to work together for good to those who love God and are called, there's that word, are called according to His purposes for them. So calling and purpose go together. Your calling in life is your purpose in life. For God knew His people in advance. So that means even before you were born, He knew in advance what you would do. And He chose them to become like His Son. He's talking about Jesus. That's your third calling there. Once you get into God's family, He wants you to grow up and He wants you to become like your older brother Jesus. So He chose them to become like His Son so that His Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. So my third calling in life is to become like Christ. What does that mean? It does not mean that you're going to be a god. You're never going to be like a mini-me god. God is God and you're not. But God wants you to become godly. And the Bible says that God is loving and God is joyful and God is peaceful and God is patient and that God is self-controlled and He's merciful. Those are the things the Bible calls the fruit of the Spirit. And they're a perfect picture of Jesus. So if you're going to become like Jesus, it means you're going to be filled with love. You're going to be filled with joy. You're going to be filled with peace. You're going to be filled with patience. All of those qualities. 5 times in the Bible, it compares becoming like Jesus to running a race. It's the race of life it's talking about. And it says it's not a 50-yard dash. It's more like a marathon. So what I want to do today is I want to look at these 5 different passages in the Bible that compare life to a race. And from them, I'm going to draw 8 principles. And you could call this the marathon to maturity. Because God doesn't want you to stay the same. He doesn't want you to be in spiritual diapers your entire life. He wants you to grow up. Like it's illustrated in the video. He doesn't want you always to stay at the base level. He wants you to grow. He wants you to advance and mature. What is maturity? Well, you look at Jesus, and you know that that is what God wants you to become like. When you look at Jesus, you say, that's God's picture of what He wants me to become like. So how do I run the marathon to maturity? Number one, write this down, simplify my life. I have to simplify my life. So I'm just saying here, you're going to have to cut out and clean out and discard some of the junk that's holding you back from becoming the person that God wants you to become. You've got to clean out the clutter. You've got to clean out your mind. You've got to clean out your schedule. You've got to clean up your relationships. You've got to get rid of the unnecessary baggage. In other words, you don't run a marathon in a parka. You don't wear 9 layers of clothes. If you've ever seen a person run a marathon, they wear as little as possible. They wear shorts, really small shorts. And a t-shirt and the lightest pair of shoes that money can buy. Because you don't want to carry anything extra. So if you're going to become the man of God that he wants, you're going to become the woman of God that he wants, the first thing you've got to do is you've got to let go of some stuff. You've got to eliminate the diversions and the distractions and the detours and the dead ends. You've got to get rid of the time wasters. Hebrews 12, it's one of the chapters in the Bible that uses a metaphor of a race. It says there, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. So notice it says there, every weight. In the Greek, it's the word oikos. It just means something that's bulky. Something that's like a burden. Something that's heavy that will hold you back. The verse also says we should run the race that God has for us. I was thinking about that. I thought, here's the problem. Everybody wants you to run their race. Everybody has a plan for your life. Your parents wanted you to run the race they wanted you to run. You might be married to a person who wants you to run the race they want you to run. You might have a boss who wants you to run a race he or she wants you to run. But you've got to decide this. Whose race am I going to run in life? I can run my own race. I can run the race that somebody else wants me to run. Or I can run the race that God created me to run. But you can only run one race. That just means you're going to have to let go of some expectations. Because you can't please everybody else and please God. You've got to decide, did God put me here on earth to please my parents? To please my boyfriend or girlfriend? To please my teacher? To please my clique? My club? My peers? My partner? Or did God put me on this earth to live out the plan that he made me for? So the starting point, if you're going to win at the race of life, you've got to decide which race you're going to run. And then you have to strip off all the extra stuff. So the sin, of course, it means you might have to do a moral inventory of your life. You've got to get the junk out of your life, the stuff that's holding you back, the habits and the hurts and the hang-ups. I've got to let go of those things. I've got to run the race that God has set for me. So you have to say, I'm not just willing to let go of sins. I'm not just willing to let go of weights. I'm willing to let go of what everybody else expects me to do too. Number two, don't get impatient. This race is going to take your entire life. You're not going to finish it in a week or a month or even a year. So God's plan to make you the person he wants you to be, it's a lifetime plan. It's going to take you in your entire life, and you can't run the race quickly. It's not a 50-yard dash. It's a marathon. So don't get impatient. It says in Hebrews 12:1, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. At times in my life, I've been a runner, mostly when I was younger, and you quickly learn, if you're going to run 10 miles, or 50 miles, so you're going to run a marathon or a half marathon, you can't start out really, really fast. Because if you do, you'll run out of steam. You'll run out of energy. You get fatigued. You'll give up and you won't finish. You've got to pace yourself. When I watch really good runners, I notice they practice really hard at pacing themselves. So when you become a Christian, when you first become a Christian, you start growing really fast. It's like babies in the early months, right? They grow enormously fast, babies. In fact, they double in size their first year. I mean, thank God you're not growing as fast as you did in your first year of life. Aren't you glad? You'd look pretty funny. You'd probably take up the whole row if you grew as fast now as you did your first year of life. So there's similarity in your spiritual life. When you first become a Christian, you grow a lot, but then it slows down. When God wants to make a mushroom, he takes 6 hours. When God wants to make an oak tree, he takes 60 years. What do you want to be? A mushroom or an oak tree? I want to be an oak tree. I want my life to be deeply rooted. I want to be strong and stable and secure so that when the strong winds come against me, when the storms of life buffet me, when the problems and the pressure and the suffering and the sorrow come against my life, or the financial problems, whatever it is, it doesn't blow me away because I'm solid like an oak tree. I can show you how to become a man of God. I can show you how to become a woman of God, but I can't teach you how to do it quickly because it's going to take your entire life. You spell maturity T-I-M-E, time. That's why, you know, at the end of every service, I always give you these one or two steps to take. And I always say, take the next step. Whatever it is for you, take the next step. That's the way you grow. Why? Because if every week you take one or two steps, I mean, even if they're small steps, at the end of the year, you'll be further down the road than you thought you were going to be. So life isn't like one big leap across the Grand Canyon. It's one step at a time. So don't get impatient or don't get in a hurry. Number three, it's to spend time focusing on Jesus every day. So I have to spend some time. I'm not talking about an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours or 10 hours. I mean, start with 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 15 minutes. Spend some time focusing on Jesus every day. Why do I need to spend time focusing my thoughts, my mind on Jesus? Because whatever you want to become, you need to think about it. So if you want to become like Jesus, you need to learn what he was like. You become like whoever you spend the most time with. So if you hang around with people who have no ambition, you're going to have no ambition. If you hang around with people who are critical, you're going to be critical. Whoever you spend the most time with is who you're going to become like. Like the old cliche, you can't soar with the eagles if you're running with the turkeys. So maybe there's some relationships you may not spend so much time with because those people are tearing you down. Those people are taking you down. But if you spend time with Jesus, 5 or 10 or 50 minutes a day, then you become more and more like him. It says in Hebrews 12, we do this, in other words, we run the race, by keeping our eyes on Jesus. To me, that's focusing on him every day. The champion who initiates and perfects our faith. You cannot become like Jesus unless you spend time with Jesus. So just find a quiet place and read the Bible and pray. Maybe you review your schedule and you say, Lord, is there anything here in my schedule that needs to change? Here's my schedule today. Or Lord, I'm really stressed out. I need your help. And then just be quiet and let God try and direct you, speak to you. Say, God, is there anything you want to say to me? Is there any way you want to direct me? You know, find a special place where you can meet with God every day. I read about a guy who said, my favorite place for a quiet time is sitting on the toilet. The bathroom is the only place that's quiet in my house. Whatever floats your boat. But you need to find a quiet place, a place where you won't be interrupted. Life is full of interruptions. And here's the thing, the more time you spend with God, the more you're going to become like him. The more time you spend reading your Bible and studying Jesus' life, the more you're going to learn his love, his patience, his character in your life. The Bible tells us Moses spent so much time with God. One time he went up on Mount Sinai, and it was when he was receiving the Ten Commandments, and he had spent months alone with God on the mountain. And when he came down, he spent so much time with God, he literally, the people said he glowed. He spent so much time with God. And for a while, he wore a veil to hide the glow. 2 Corinthians says, so all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Notice a couple of things. First, the phrase more and more. So that means in this marathon of maturity, become a woman of God, become a man of God, become the person God made you to be, not what your parents want you to be, but what God wanted you to be, it takes time. It says it's more and more. In other words, it's sequential. In other words, it's systematic. It's one step at a time. It's a process. All of us, we want a quick fix in life. So we go around looking for that one book that would change our life. That one message that would change my life. We want to take a pill, have an experience, and boom, it's going to instantly transform me. And all of a sudden, I just love everybody. Nobody makes me impatient anymore. I'm cool and copacetic. Doesn't happen that way. There's instant mashed potatoes. There's instant coffee, and both of them are terrible. But there's no instant spiritual maturity. It just doesn't happen. It takes time. The verse says more and more. The verse also says we reflect His glory. If you spend time with God, you're going to start reflecting the qualities of God. Love, joy, peace, patience. Scientists have discovered that inside your brain you have what are called mirror neurons. And there's a lot of study being done on this right now. And what the mirror neurons do is they allow you to feel what other people feel when you look at them. It's why you're able to empathize and sympathize with people. For example, if I were to yawn right now, half the church would start yawning. In fact, me just saying the word yawn makes you want to yawn. Your mirror neurons are firing. That's why when you go to a movie and you see somebody in a scary situation, you get scared. The mirror neurons are firing in your brain. And when you see somebody win a game and they're celebrating, you feel their joy, it's the mirror neurons. Or you're watching a movie and somebody gets kissed, you feel that, you feel good. It's the mirror neurons. So when you read about Jesus and you focus on Jesus, your mirror neurons begin to reflect His love, His qualities in your life. You begin to see things the way He sees it. You become more and more like Him. Number four, when it gets hard, remember the reward. So God's goal for you to become like Jesus, as I said, is a lifetime process. So you're going to go through lots of problems and pressures and trials and difficulties and ups and downs. And God's going to use it all to make you more like Jesus. So listen very closely. If God's going to make you like Jesus, He's going to take you through everything that Jesus went through. Were there times when Jesus was lonely? Absolutely. Were there times when Jesus was criticized? Yes. Were there times when Jesus was betrayed? Yes. Were there times when Jesus was worn out with fatigue, and yet He had to keep going? Yes. Were there times when He was misunderstood? Yes. So if God did not spare His own Son from those things, why do you think He would spare you? He won't. So the next time you ask, why is this happening to me? You need to realize that God's using that to build your attitude, to build your character. So instead of asking why, you need to ask what? What do you want me to learn from this situation? The Bible says that Jesus learned obedience through suffering. The Bible says that Jesus was made complete through suffering. You're going to learn the same way. So you shouldn't be surprised when problems come into your life, because it's God's curriculum for character development. You're growing. You're becoming. So when life gets hard, you remember the reward. And the problems are part of the process. It says in Hebrews 12, because of the joy awaiting Him, He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Why? Because He knew the reward on the other side. Now He is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility endured from sinful people, and then you won't become weary and give up. The problems, they're part of the plan. There's this great promise in 1 Peter. It says, so after you've suffered a little while, He will restore, support, and strengthen you, and He will place you on a firm foundation. So we have short-term problems, but there's a long-term plan. There's long-term glory in heaven. God does not promise an easy life here on earth. He does promise to reward us in heaven if we'll learn from it and become more and more like Christ. I mean, anybody who says life is easy is out of touch with reality. The fact is, life is hard. Why? Because everything on this planet is broken. Is there pleasure on earth? Yes. Are there happy times on earth? Absolutely. Are there moments of joy on earth? Yes. Are there times when things are growing great? Yes. But as a general rule, life is hard. Everything in your life, you have to struggle for it. It's not easy. And there's this verse in Romans 8 that says, if we want to share in Jesus' glory, then we have to share in Jesus' suffering. We might say, no guts, no glory. No pain, no gain. And then number 5, gather a team to run with me. That's why God gave us the church. I mean, if you don't have anybody running with you, you're not going to make it to the end of the race. You're going to give up. You're going to get discouraged. And you're not going to become the woman that God intended you to be. You're not going to become the man God intended you to be. So you need other people in your life encouraging you, spurring you on, helping you run the race. The Africans have a proverb that says, to run fast, run alone. But to run far, run with others. I mean, all of us know people who started off great, and today they're nowhere to be found. They had so much potential. They had so much ability. That guy, he's going somewhere. She's really going far. Now they're sidelined. Now they're doing nothing. Why? They thought they could do it alone. You don't need 100 people running with you, but you need a few people running with you. You're running with them, and they're running with you, and you're supporting each other. And when you feel like giving up, they keep you going. You know, that's why we have house churches, so you can have people to run together with. It says in Hebrews, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. That verse is just stating the obvious. Other people can encourage us. And don't underestimate the value of that in your life. We all need encouragement. This world can be very discouraging. You need encouragement in your life to counteract it. And that encouragement, it keeps you going. And that encouragement, it keeps you growing. Number 6, remember that God is cheering me at every stage. Some of you have the mistaken idea that God only smiles at you when you do things right, or God will only smile at you when you reach a certain level of maturity. You know, once I arrive at this level of maturity, then God will like me. But until you become spiritually mature, you just think God doesn't have the time of day for you. But you're dead wrong. Nobody shames a baby for not knowing how to read. You dumb, dumb baby. They don't expect a baby to know how to read. Nobody shames a 10-year-old for not knowing how to balance a checkbook. You dumb 10-year-old. No, you know what is appropriate for that stage of growth. You know, my kids used to draw me a picture, and they bring me a picture, and I would say, that's perfect. I'm not saying it's a Picasso. I'm saying it's perfect for their stage. So God smiles at every stage of your development. He's not waiting for you to get to a certain level of maturity, and then he says, oh, now you're okay. You're already okay in his eyes because Christ died for you. Nobody shames a baby for not being mature. You need to not be ashamed of whatever stage of growth you're at right now. A lot of times, you know, we secretly think, oh, I should be further along than this. Given my maturity, I should be a lot more mature. Given my age, I should be a lot more mature. You know, I'm this number of years old. Why am I still struggling with this problem? Why am I still having this difficulty? We start shaming ourselves because we think God's ashamed of us. But God is not ashamed of you. The Bible says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Look at this passage in Philippians 2, a classic passage in the Bible, Philippians 3. It says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things, that I have already reached perfection. So this is written by Paul. This is a guy who wrote most of the New Testament. And he's going, I don't have it together. I'm not saying I've already achieved all this. I'm not saying I've already done all this. I'm not saying I'm perfect. He's not. But thank God, I'm not what I used to be. And thank God I'm not what I'm going to be one day. I haven't already achieved these things. I haven't already got perfection. But I press on to possess the perfection for which Jesus Christ first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. There's that word again. He says, I just keep on going. I don't have it all together, but I keep straining ahead. One day I'm going to be all that God wants me to be, the man that God wants me to be. One day I'll be that, but I'm still not there. I'm still not all I should be. But God is cheering you at every stage of the race. Those of you who are parents, have you ever watched your child run in a race at school? Probably many of you have. At what point did you start cheering for them? Once they crossed the finish line? No way. You started cheering for them the moment they started the race. And what happens if they happen to stumble and they fall on their face and they embarrass themselves? What do? You cheer more. Come on, I know you can do it. Get up. I believe in you. If they fall, you cheer even more. This might be life-changing for some of you right now. You've never realized that God is cheering for you even when you stumble. He's going, I know you can do it. You're better than this. I believe in you. I created you. I sent my son to die for you. Come on, you can do it. Number 7, I have to take every step with purpose. Now, I didn't do this for a lot of years in my life. But I don't want to waste another step because I don't know how many steps I have left. You don't either. You don't know if you're going to live a week, a month, or a year, or whatever. You just don't know. So whatever steps you're going to take, you better do them on purpose. And you need to be more disciplined. And you need to be more self-controlled. If you're going to become the person God wants you to be, this third calling in life, I'll be honest with you. There's some things you're going to have to deny yourself. You're not going to get to do everything else. You're not going to get to do everything that everybody else does. Because if you want to be God's man, God's woman, if you want to be what you're created to be, you just can't go out and do what everybody else does. You can't follow their plan and your plan and God's plan all at the same time. Anybody who trains for the Olympics gives up an enormous amount of things in order to win. They eat a certain way. They go to bed at a certain time. They don't do certain things. You're going to have to deny yourself. So you have to say, I'm going to be disciplined. I'm going to take every step with purpose. Like Paul, he lived with purpose. He says this in 1 Corinthians. He says, all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. Paul's saying, if I'm going to take a punch, I'm going to make sure it lands. That might offend you, but it's Paul's illustration, not mine. He said, I'm just out there beating the air. I'm not just shadow boxing. I'm not wasting my time. I'm not wasting my life. That's how you get to the finish line. Again, back in Hebrews 12, it says, so take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. In other words, you know, when you feel like you can't go on, when you feel like the tank is empty, ask God for more strength. And then he says, mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong. When you're going through hell, what do? You keep going. You don't want to stay in hell. When you're going through hell, you keep walking. When you're walking through hell, you keep walking. The verse says when you're running the race of life and you and you're becoming what God wants you to be, you need to walk on the straight path. Don't be tempted by the many crooked ways. When things aren't working out, don't be tempted by shortcuts. Stay on the straight and narrow path. There's one last step. This is my favorite one of all. It says, realize that what I don't finish, God will. So when I don't, what I don't get finished in my life, God will finish. I was created to become like Christ. What I don't get done, God will complete in the character development of my life. There's a great verse in Philippians that says, and I'm certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. What a day that is going to be. I mean, what a day. Because on that day when you see Jesus, you don't see him right now. He's invisible right now. But when you see him face to face, every mirror neuron in your brain is going to go on overload. Because you're going to be transformed and become like him. So that just means all your weaknesses are gone. All your fears and faults are gone. All your failures and frailties are gone. All of your insecurities are gone. All of your blemishes and flaws are gone. And you'll be transformed into perfection on that day. And those mirror neurons are going to go on overload. And you'll reflect the glory of God. It's such good news. I'm not who I ought to be. You're not who you ought to be. We're not a fraction of what we could be. But God says, that's okay, because I'm taking my time. I'm cheering you at every stage. Just take one step at a time. Take every step with purpose, because one day I'm going to finish what you don't finish. And you're going to be changed instantly into my likeness. I mean, what a day that will be. 1 John says, dear friends, we're already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we'll be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. So what I don't finish in my lifetime, God is going to finish. I am so glad for that. You may have struggled in the race of life. Welcome to the human race. We've all been there. We've all struggled. In this race, you may have stumbled. We've all been there. We've all stumbled. In this race, you may have been sidelined. We've all been there. But your race is not over. It's not. Your heart is still beating. Your race is not over. It's never too late to get back up and get in the race again. In this family, this wonderful family called West Heights Community Church, you are loved. You are beloved. And you belong. And you can become what God meant for you to become. The church is a second chance grace place. And as your pastor, I'm committed to helping you cross the finish line. And it's never too late. You're never too old. It's time to get back up and get in the race. Let's pray. I don't know what step you're going to take out of this message, but I want to begin with a prayer. Just say, dear God, just say in your mind, for the first time today, I realize that you're cheering me at every stage in the race. When I stumble, you don't condemn me. You cheer me on. You believe in me. I want to take every step with purpose. I don't want to waste one day of the rest of my life. I've done too much of that. I want to become like Jesus, and I'm willing to take these steps. I'm willing to strip off the stuff that doesn't matter in my life, the stuff that slows me down, holds me back, especially the sins that trip me up. I want to simplify my life. I'm so grateful that you're patient with me. Help me not to be in a hurry. I want to be an oak tree, not a mushroom. I want to spend time focusing on Jesus so I can be a mirror that reflects his love to others. Lord, when it gets hard, I want to remember the reward. When I feel like giving up, I'm going to remember the reward. I mean, remember all that Jesus went through, and Jesus never gave up. Thank you. Make me strong. Give me the support. Keep me from falling, as you promise. Help me to find a teammate. Help me run to this next stage of my life. And I want to spur others on, and I want them to spur me on. Most of all, dear Jesus, I thank you that what I don't finish, you will. When one day all those things I dislike about myself are going to be removed from my life. And when I look at you, I will become like you. Thank you. Thank you that I don't have to stay the same. Thank you that you give me the power to change. Jesus, I give you as much as I know how, every part of my life. If you've never done this before, just say, Jesus, come into my life and make yourself real to me. Or maybe just say, today, Jesus, I rededicate my life to you. I thank you that you will finish whatever I don't complete. In your name I pray. Amen.